Mr. Salas.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. I represent the plaintiff's appellants, Donald and Diana Weil. As the Court is aware, my case began in Louisiana, where I'm from. It was filed.
Before you begin, let me just interrupt you. I'm troubled by your statement of jurisdiction. You say that the various defendants are citizens of one state and have their principal place of business in that state or another. That's not what the diversity statute says. Diversity statute says a corporation is a citizen of the state in which it's incorporated and the state in which it has its principal place of business. You don't state that these defendants are corporations incorporated in a particular state. You say they're a citizen of one state, but their principal place of business is another state. That's wrong. They're a citizen of two states, the state of incorporation, the state of their principal place of business.
Your Honor, I would correct that if that mistake was made. Subscriptions Plus was a corporation incorporated under the laws of Oklahoma with its principal place of business at the time in Oklahoma. It happened that we found out that at the time of the accident in question, the charter of Subscriptions Plus had been revoked. So whether it was a corporation or not at the time, I don't know, and that's not an issue that came up in district court. No.
I wasn't. That's another problem. That's not the problem I'm asking you about. If you look at page 2 of your brief, it's just at random. Acceptance Insurance Company, a citizen of the state of Nebraska with its principal place of business in the state of Nebraska. What do you mean when you call it a citizen of the state of Nebraska?
Well, that insurance company was incorporated under the state of Nebraska.
So that's a corporation incorporated in Nebraska.
Yes.
Now, is that true of all the other?
Yes, Your Honor.
They're all corporations. They're not mutual companies. They're not partnerships. They're not LLCs. They're corporations.
No, Your Honor. And that was based, I guess we've used the wrong terminology, but that was based upon the information that those defendants supplied to the district court at the time.
Okay. Now, one of these, Mutual Fire and Automobile Insurance Company, you say a citizen of a state other than Louisiana, with its principal place in a state other than Louisiana. How do you know that if you don't know what state it's incorporated in and where its principal place of business is?
Your Honor, we know that it's not a corporation of Louisiana.
How do you know?
But
how do you know?
Judge, we had checked in Louisiana. We could not track it down somewhere else, but in reality, that corporation, we never pursued the case against that corporation. That corporation was dismissed.
That was dismissed?
Yes. Okay. We abandoned that case because we had determined that the policy of insurance issue was a homeowner's insurance, and it was really not relevant to the case.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so my last question, you started off and you're talking about a corporation that had dissolved. Which one is that?
Subscriptions Plus, Inc.
Subscription Plus. Well, Subscriptions Plus, you allege that it's an Oklahoma corporation with its principal place of business there. But what has happened to Subscriptions Plus? It's dissolved?
Your Honor, one issue came up, and that was that the charter of Subscriptions Plus had been revoked approximately 2 years prior to the accident because Subscriptions Plus had not paid its taxes in Oklahoma. Subscriptions Plus later came back after the accident, and they paid the taxes, and they say that they are now a valid corporation and that the payment of the taxes somehow retroactively validates its status throughout the time.
Okay, so there, in other words, when the suit was filed, had they paid their taxes and been reinstated, or were they in a kind of limbo still?
My understanding, and the counsel is here, is that they paid it after the suit was filed.
When the suit was filed, they were in a kind of limbo?
That's what I think, yes.
Okay, well, thank you. That'll do fine.
Your Honor, this case was originally filed in the Eastern District of Louisiana. On motion of one of the defendants, it was transferred to the Western District of Wisconsin. Pursuant to 28 U.S.C. 1406, which provides for the transfer of a suit to a district where the case could have been brought originally by the plaintiffs. We went along in that court. Some discovery was made, and the defendants, most of the defendants, filed summary judgment motions. Carlene Hillary included in her papers a motion to dismiss for lack of personal jurisdiction. She essentially argued that she had not transacted any substantial business in Wisconsin, and therefore there was no reason to sue her in Wisconsin. We opposed that, but we lost. The court rendered a decision in December of 2000 saying that the court was dismissing Carlene Hillary from the suit because of lack of personal jurisdiction, but yet the court went on to rule in favor of the other defendants who had filed summary judgment motions. We then filed a motion for reconsideration, and while that was pending with the court, we filed a motion to send the case back to Louisiana. Why? Because this court had said in the Hoffman versus Blatsky decision, which was affirmed by the United States Supreme Court, that a transferee court acquires jurisdiction over a case only if two things happen. One, it must be the proper venue. If the plaintiff had elected to file suit in that jurisdiction, and two, the court would have had personal jurisdiction over all of the defendants if the plaintiff had elected to file the suit originally in that jurisdiction. In this case, since Judge Kraft had now made a decision at the request of of Carlene Hillary that Carlene Hillary was not subject to jurisdiction in the Western District.
But Hillary dropped that request and later consented to jurisdiction.
Well, that's the issue, Your Honor, I think. I believe that the original issue, as I presented to the court, was whether the district court had jurisdiction of the case. In light of their concession, it seems to me that all the defendants except one basically concede that my argument was correct. What they do now is they're trying to save it by saying, look, we are hereby and we make ourselves available to the court's jurisdiction today when they file the brief with this court. Question then is, can they do that?
Well, wait a second. Why did Hillary drop her opposition to jurisdiction?
I'm sorry?
Why did Hillary drop her opposition to jurisdiction?
Well, they said because in the state court there had been a decision that is different than the decision made by Judge Kraft.
And if that state court decision is authoritative, the issue dissolves. Right? If the state court is right, it shows there was jurisdiction over Hillary all along and that the district judge was incorrect in her ruling.
That could perhaps be the case, but the finding of the district.
I don't know why it's a perhaps. It's the state court that decides, you know, the limits of state long-arm jurisdiction, and state decided Hillary was suable in Wisconsin, so why isn't that the end of it?
That court may be wrong, Judge.
We don't know. But we usually defer to what a state court says about state law.
Except that decision comes after a final judgment by the district court finding that there is no jurisdiction.
But we learn happily that she was incorrect when she said there was no jurisdiction over Hillary, and therefore her error, if it was an error in allowing the transfer, was harmless. I mean, you'd agree, wouldn't you, that if the state court was correct, it shows there was personal jurisdiction over Hillary all along. Do you challenge that state court jurisdiction in your brief, a state court ruling in your brief? Do you say it is wrong?
Judge, they just raised that by way of the reply brief. That was not a matter that was brought before the district court.
It's critical, though, isn't it?
Well, I don't see how
the state court decision is correct. It shows there never was a problem with the transfer. So I would think that its correctness would be absolutely critical to your argument that the case couldn't be transferred to Wisconsin.
Judge, what I have a problem is that they're trying to retroactively validate after a judgment has already been rendered the validity of a judgment that was rendered by a court without jurisdiction. For example, and you have to bear in mind that it was Carlene Hillary argued to the court.
As I say, if that state court decision was right, it means that Wisconsin law permitted Hillary to be sued in Wisconsin. Now, the district judge didn't know that. The parties didn't know that. No one knew it. But now the Wisconsin court has spoken, we know Hillary could always have been sued. So I don't know why. I mean, your argument seems to imply that it goes back to Louisiana, then they file another transfer motion, and now we know that there's no problem with the transfer motion because we know that Hillary can be sued in Wisconsin, so now the motion is granted again. It pops right back here. So what's been gained?
Well, what's been gained, Judge, is the fact that we get a chance to litigate our claim against Carlene Hillary in one court. What's happened now is
that... No, you have it now. What do you mean? She's there, Wisconsin, consenting to litigate there.
I'm not a part of that lawsuit, Your Honor. Basically, what happened, the net effect of this decision has been that the court has split the cause of action. I now find myself in having to file a lawsuit against Carlene Hillary in some other jurisdiction, perhaps Wisconsin now in light of this ruling. But the court has split the cause of action between the corporation and Carlene Hillary. And that is precisely...
I don't understand split.
Well...
She's suable in Wisconsin. It's all one case.
She's suable.
Split.
Well, because presumably what the defendants argue is that therefore the decision in favor of Subscriptions Plus is therefore final, and that therefore I will have to go and file suit against Carlene Hillary in some other jurisdiction, perhaps Wisconsin, and then go to that lawsuit. And that I think that is one
well,
of the...
Well, now I'm lost. She isn't a party in Wisconsin?
She is a party in a state court lawsuit to which I am not a party. My clients are not parties to that suit. In fact, we had tried to join that lawsuit, but the defendants objected. Their objection being that we had already litigated in federal court, and that therefore we should not be allowed to participate in the state court.
She was a defendant in Louisiana, wasn't she?
Yes.
But I thought the case was transferred to Wisconsin. So why didn't she go with it?
Oh, no, she went with it. You mean to
Judge Graff. Didn't she go with the suit to Judge Graff?
Yes.
Right.
So what are you complaining about? I understand. You have everybody in Wisconsin.
Well, what happens is I have a final judgment against my clients in their claim against Subscription Plus, but I have no final judgment against Carlene Hillary because the court felt that I could not sue her in this lawsuit. And the judge stated, look, you have to sue her somewhere else. So basically, I think that what Your Honor is suggesting is that I will have to go back to the district court.
I see. Because of Judge Crabb's possibly erroneous ruling, you didn't get the judgment.
Right. So I will have to go back either to Judge Crabb's courtroom or to some other courtroom to pursue Carlene Hillary all by herself.
Well that's better than starting everything over in Louisiana.
Well, it may or may not, Judge, because basically what we have is a situation where...
I mean, that would be horrible, wouldn't it?
Well,
send it all back to Louisiana.
I don't think so, Judge, because basically my clients are entitled to prosecute the suit in the forum that they have chosen.
No, not if there was a proper transfer.
Oh, really? That's correct.
But there was a proper transfer if the Wisconsin State Court was right in its interpretation of Wisconsin law.
Well,
you haven't contested.
The problem, Judge, with that is that it's an ex post facto matter. We have a final judgment from the district court.
I know, it's a problem, but it's less of a problem than sending this whole case back to Louisiana to start over again under different law. And
Judge, I think it would be perhaps a problem if we have had maybe a full trial on the merits. We didn't have that. What we did have was some motions. And I realized that there is some work, and I would not have liked to do that work in vain, and neither would the defendant. The fact of the matter is that it was a motion that got rid of this case in the manner that he did. And perhaps, Judge, I think that if the court wants to send it back to Wisconsin, the court should invalidate the prior judgment and send the case back to Judge Crabb and say, okay, Judge, now deal with the case in its entirety. And I think perhaps that's what Your Honor is suggesting, and that may be better than going to Louisiana. But to hold that, enforce the judgment as it stands right now with respect to some of the defendants and say, well, you got to go back to Wisconsin and try the case against Carly and Hillary, I don't think we're getting anything.
Mrs. Salas, if it went back before Judge Crabb to deal with the Hillary matter, and you suggest if that were the route, then all the summary judgment matters should also be reopened against her. Now, why do you argue? I mean, I know why you argue that. What would be the basis? Is it because if Judge Crabb confronted the Hillary suit, it would impact her decision, or it should cause her to revisit the other summary judgment issues?
Yes, Your Honor, especially in light of some other issues that were brought up, particularly, Judge, if you will recall in our brief, we raised the issue of whether there is coverage for the green vehicle, for the green accident vehicle. And you will remember that Carlene Hillary relied or filed an affidavit stating that neither she nor subscriptions plus had any relationship to any of the vehicles that were provided to this cruise. Well, after the judgment was issued, or the opinion was issued by Judge Crabb, we developed this other evidence which showed specifically that the white vehicle, for which the green vehicle was a substitute, had been bought by Carlene Hillary personal check.
So if this court were to vacate and ask her to reconsider those summary judgments in light of that, would that fold the case together?
I think that's what would have to happen if the court wanted to take advantage of the state court decision and reconsider everything in light of the state court decision today and decide whether there is jurisdiction and then go along with everything.
Judge Crabb would be obliged to, under traditional approach, if this case had to be revisited by her, to look at that decision. I mean, assuming she would defer to the state court. I mean.
Well, right. And I suggest this, if the court wants to enforce that state court decision, then the court has to invalidate the judgment and look at the entire case again in light of that decision.
Why? I don't get it. But anyway, let me ask you, I'm not sure I agree with your premise. Why is it that a plaintiff should be able to defeat transfer to a more convenient form just by adding parties?
I don't understand the question. Adding parties
you
after
say that because you sued Hillary in Louisiana and because you claim, although probably erroneously in light of that Wisconsin decision, that she couldn't be sued in Wisconsin, you're saying by doing that, by naming her in Louisiana, you prevent transfer to a much more convenient form for the rest of the parties. Should you have that right?
No. In fact, we never sued her in Louisiana for the purpose of preventing the transfer of a case if that's what needs to happen. We sued her, Judge.
I'm not saying you sued her improperly. I'm just saying that your view of this transfer statute is that by naming a party who can't be sued in a convenient venue, you prevent a transfer.
Well, all I'm saying is that this court and the Supreme Court said that in order to transfer a case to a more convenient jurisdiction, the court must have personal jurisdiction over all of the defendants.
Are those actually multi-defendant cases or single-defendant cases?
Multi-defendant. Well, I can say that the Fifth Circuit case, which followed this case, that was the Liao Su Tang Fifth Circuit, stated the transfer of a suit against multiple defendants is proper only if all of them would have been amenable to process in...
That's not the Supreme Court saying that.
That's correct.
So that's an open issue. Could you... I don't want to invade your... But could you just give a very brief summary of this green and white vehicle issue? Because I lost the thread of that.
Yes, Your Honor. The... Carlene Hillary purchased a white vehicle at a dealership in Iowa. She paid with a personal check. She then registered the vehicle in the name of Subscriptions Plus.
This and is the white?
The white car. She gave it to Sean Lane to transport the crews. They made it to Louisiana, where they recruited my clients. From New Orleans, they went to Baton Rouge. The vehicle was involved in an accident there. They left it at the dealership in Baton Rouge for repairs, and it was there for a month or so. They continued on and went to Austin, Texas. And because they needed another vehicle, they went and purchased this green vehicle, which then they used as a substitute for the white vehicle.
So your argument, is it Progressive Insurance Company?
Progressive Insurance.
So your argument is that Progressive, which had insured the white, also covers the green.
It's a temporary substitute for a vehicle that is undergoing repairs. The court felt that that can only happen for a period of 30 days. Now, you have to remember that the policy had only been in effect for 20 days when the accident took place. But they said, the judge, I think, felt that, well, you first put it in operation 2 or 3 months before you even bought the policy, then therefore this 30 days use shouldn't apply. Now, we contend that that 30-day period is for notice only, and you cannot give notice if you don't even have the policy yet. So from the day of the inception of the policy, 20 days past the accident occurred, we still have 10 days to give notice. Fact of the matter is, Your Honor, that...
Okay, the policy was bought... When was the policy?
It was March 3rd, became effective March 5th.
And when was the accident?
The accident was March 25th.
Yes, so that's within the, it's your argument, that's within the 30 days.
That's correct.
And her view was?
Her view was that the vehicle was purchased in late January or early February. And therefore, this vehicle...
She started running the time.
It started running from the day that it was bought. And we said, look...
The purchase of the white was bought? Or the
green vehicle was purchased.
I see, the green vehicle was purchased in... January
more than 30 days prior to the accident.
Great. Okay, I understand. Thanks very much
yes.
for the
clarification. In fact, Your Honor, there was a matter that a document even, which was part of the record, where Progressive Insurance Company lists Jeremy Holmes, the driver of the green vehicle, as its insured. And they, in fact, provided a defense for a period of time up until they settled that dispute, because there was a possibility that there was coverage under the policy based on the decision of whether or not the green vehicle was a substitute, temporary substitute vehicle. We were not allowed.
I don't want to cut you off.
Thank you,
you can finish your thought.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Salas. Mr. Wachowski?
May it please the Court, I'm Ted Wachowski. I represent Subscriptions Plus, Inc. and Carlene Hillary. I'd like to talk about the jurisdiction issue first, if I may. In the state court proceeding, the plaintiffs there, and there are a number of them, there are 11, a various group of estates and injured survivors of the accident. There are six death cases in Wisconsin and five injury cases. Carlene Hillary challenged personal jurisdiction under Wisconsin's procedure. The court held a very brief trial to inquire into the issue of jurisdiction. We opposed that, and the court ruled that there was, in fact, personal jurisdiction over Carlene Hillary. What we have decided to do is accept that ruling, and that's why we told the court that we were submitting to the jurisdiction of the Seventh Circuit, because we are accepting the jurisdiction of the State Court of Wisconsin, and therefore, obviously, it follows to here. It's important, I think, to connote that Judge Feldman in Louisiana could have done the very same thing. This is not a case of submitting to jurisdiction or manufacturing jurisdiction, as plaintiffs have suggested. There was a court ruling here. That court ruling, the only person that can object to it or appeal it is Carlene Hillary. She has accepted it. I believe that that means that there is jurisdiction, and there has always been jurisdiction. And Judge Feldman could very well have ruled the same thing. So any problem in the transfer based on jurisdiction is gone. Now, the other thing I think that needs to be said in the same vein is that obviously this case belongs in Wisconsin. There were many people, 14 people in this van. They were from all different states. But the thing that was common was that the accident occurred in Wisconsin. These people were selling magazines in Wisconsin, and they were also staying in Wisconsin while they were doing so. Obviously, and no one disagrees with this, Wisconsin tort law applies, and Wisconsin is by far the most convenient forum for this case. And so since there's no legitimate objection to the transfer by Judge Feldman anymore, it belongs in Wisconsin.
Say there's 11, there are 11 separate cases, or you said 11 plaintiffs?
There are 11 plaintiffs. There originally were three cases, two in Rock County, Wisconsin, and one in Dane County. And those cases have been consolidated for purposes of handling in Dane County, Wisconsin, by Judge Albert, the judge that made the personal jurisdiction ruling.
And the Wilds, are these the 13, 12 and 13?
Then? Wilds are the exception. The Wilds chose to bring their case in Louisiana, and they chose to remain separate. I think clearly.
Is there any procedure for consolidating a state and a federal tort suit?
Not as far as I'm aware, Your Honor. Nor as far as I'm aware, is there any reason to. There are a couple of things to keep in mind on the personal jurisdiction. Under Wisconsin state law procedure, the facts found in the personal jurisdiction trial are only for purposes of personal jurisdiction. So the only thing that's really decided is that there was personal jurisdiction and that has been accepted. But there's also no reason to consolidate the cases at this point because the Wilds had full and fair discovery in federal court. Then there were summary judgment motions in which everything was argued, including whether, if there is jurisdiction over Carlene Hillary, if she's entitled to dismissal on the merits. The judge, in fact, even addressed that issue in her decision. And so there is no reason.
What's the status of the consolidated state case?
The judge has made a ruling on summary judgment, and it primarily involved coverage, although it also involved merits summary judgment. The judge essentially ruled that there's no coverage, and that is being appealed. So that is on appeal to the Court of Appeals.
And same defendants?
I believe identical. I think that in the state court cases, there's an additional defendant, National Publishers Exchange.
Okay,
but
thanks.
Virtually all of the same defendants. There was a suggestion, why don't we just send this back and do it over? There's no reason to. He had an opportunity, and as is in the record, what occurred after the ruling by Judge Crabb that there was no personal jurisdiction over Carlene Hillary, there was a flurry of things. One of the things that happened was that Mr. Salas brought two state court actions in Louisiana, which are now in front of Judge Crabb again. So there's ample opportunity for her to do whatever needs to be done, but we don't think anything need be done because it was done already.
Now, what is the status of these two suits you just speak of, Mr. Leskowski?
Those were remanded to, those were removed to federal court in Louisiana and transferred to Wisconsin.
So
she has.
She has before her now for consideration the matters that Mr. Salas says she ought to examine vis-a-vis impacting her prior decisions on summary judgment against the other defendants?
She surely has the opportunity to do whatever is necessary, although I'm continuing to argue that nothing is necessary.
I appreciate that. I'm just sure. Trying to see how that would come about.
Okay.
She's entered final judgment in the summary judgments that are before us.
Well, presently being briefed, or I think fully briefed now in the new cases, and this is a very unusual situation. Mr. Salas has, in fact, filed three identical actions. So there are three identical actions that are now in the federal court. Same facts, same defendants, same everything. But the procedural status of the two new cases that he filed is that the briefing on what is the res judicata effect, or excuse me, claim preclusion effect, issue preclusion effect of her previous ruling in the previous case. What's left? So that was dealt with, and everything certainly was put on the table there. So,
well, if you were to gain affirmance of her decision in this court, how could she revisit those summary judgment grants in light of these new cases that have been transferred to her that you say raises the very matters that Mr. Salas says impact or possibly impact how she ruled in this case?
Well, there certainly was no there's no bar that I'm aware of for Mr. Salas to file whatever motion he thought was appropriate, either after the personal jurisdiction decision in the other cases. I think he could file whatever motion is appropriate to get whatever relief he believes that he's entitled to.
Wait, I'm lost completely.
Excuse me.
You're saying our judgment, suppose we affirmed, that wouldn't resolve the Wild suit against these defendants?
Yes, I think that it would, because in Judge Crabb's decision on summary judgment, she clearly said that if there was jurisdiction over Carlene Hillary, she would be entitled to summary judgment as well. We think that that will occur in the new case, where she will say, under principles of issue preclusion.
What's the new case? The new case, you mean, is a new case against Hillary?
It's the
because
same.
She wasn't a defendant in this case.
It is, in fact, Your Honor, the identical case that is pending before you. After the summary judgment decision, Mr. Salas filed an identical case in state court. He filed a new case.
Would the prudent thing for us be to wait till she rules on that?
I think that if you wait till she rules, I think the entire case will clearly be disposed of.
Wait a second.
Excuse me.
He filed another suit identical to this one. Does it include Hillary as a defendant?
It does.
Then it's not identical.
Well, it identical to the one he filed originally is what I was saying.
Identical to his Louisiana suit.
Yes.
And that's in the Wisconsin State Court?
No. That case was filed in Louisiana State Court. He actually filed two basically identical actions in two different parishes in Louisiana. They were removed and then transferred to Wisconsin. Right.
I don't understand you. You said he filed something after she issued summary judgment.
That's right. He filed two new cases in Louisiana State Court.
Okay. Two new or three new?
Two. Two new cases.
Oh, okay. So, he filed two new suits in a Louisiana state court or federal?
State court. Those were removed to federal court in Louisiana. The federal court there transferred them to her.
And what is their status?
Their status is that briefing on issue preclusion has been concluded. There has been no discovery. The judge asked for briefs on the issue of issue preclusion, and that has been done.
Okay, thanks.
Time's up. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Leitner?
Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Mark Leitner. I'm here for Progressive Northern Insurance Company. The bottom line for Progressive is that...
Well, before you get to the bottom line, how about diversity jurisdiction? Now, is Mr. Salas correct that all of the insurance company defendants are corporations?
Yes.
And they're corporations incorporated in some state other than Wisconsin?
Yes, as far as I know. Progressive is incorporated in... Progressive is incorporated in Wisconsin.
I mean incorporated somewhere
other than Louisiana.
Other than Louisiana.
So yes, right. Progressive is incorporated in Wisconsin. Principal place of business is in Ohio. And I think that's also Scottsdale, I believe, is an Ohio company with its principal place of business in Arizona.
Do you know anything
Arizona.
About this mysterious limbo? Oh, but that mutual, but it was dismissed?
That apparently was a home insurer that was dismissed from the case.
Okay. So we can
not pursued.
Okay. Yeah,
not part of us. The bottom line for Progressive is that Judge Crabb, in fact, did resolve all of the coverage issues in a decision issued in March that was incorporated in the final judgment in this case. And even though that decision was not appealed, it still absolutely and completely preclusively resolves the coverage issues. And the reason is because under the Wisconsin statutory scheme for suing insurance companies, the plaintiffs here never had a direct claim, a claim to hold Progressive directly liable. The Wisconsin has a substantive direct action statute, which is 632.20.24, that allows a plaintiff to recover directly against the insurance company, gives them a substantive claim. It has a procedural direct action statute that allows a plaintiff to make an insurance company part of the lawsuit, to bring them to the party, so to speak. And it is only the substantive direct action statute that gives a plaintiff a claim. The Kennison decision that we discuss in our briefs says that the substantive direct action statute that gives the plaintiff an actual claim against the insurance company applies only if the policy is delivered or issued for delivery in Wisconsin. It's absolutely clear in this case that the Progressive policy issued from Ohio to an Oklahoma insured, and therefore the plaintiffs don't have a claim against us. They had nothing to try. Basically, they were permitted to abide the outcome of our coverage motion, which Progressive won, which the insured didn't
That's
appeal.
The white-green vehicle?
The white-green vehicle issue. I think that the court is right on the merits.
You're saying that only the insured could appeal that.
I think only the insured has something to beef about because the plaintiff has no substantive legal claim against Progressive. Until and
the
unless...
The insured is what? The
subscriptions plus Carlene Hillary. Now, under the argument that Mr. Salas has been advancing the white-green van issue, a couple points, I guess. One is that I think it's waived in this appeal. I don't think it's developed or even presented in the initial brief. And I don't need to go through the precedents and the procedural rules that say if you don't bring it in the initial brief, it's gone. On the merits, a couple things about our policy. There is a provision that allows non-owned autos to be covered if and only if they are being used as a substitute because of withdrawal from normal use for a period not greater than 30 days without notice to Progressive. Policy, it's cited at page 14 of Mr. Salas' reply brief and at page 14 of our reply brief, by coincidence. A couple things. That provision applies only when an employee of the insured is driving the vehicle. As Judge Crabb recognized in her decisions, there's no proof that this vehicle is being driven by an employee of the insured. Second, the vehicle has to be out of service for no more than 30 days without notice to Progressive. Obviously, the listed van, the white van, unquestionably listed on our policy, was out of service for more than 30 days. It went out of service in January. In fact, it went out of service before the policy incepted.
When you say for not more than 30 days without notice, the notice has to be within the 30 days?
Well, I believe under the circumstances here, the notice would have to be given on the first day, on the day of inception. I think that the notice would normally have to be within 30 days.
I see, but here, because when the policy was issued, they were already...
30 days were already gone. I think the insured would have a chance to invoke the substitute provision. Correct. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leiter. Mr. Fitzpatrick?
Good morning. My name is Michael Fitzpatrick. I represent Scottsdale Insurance Company. In this case, the Scottsdale policy was issued and delivered outside the state of Wisconsin. That has not been challenged by the Wilds at any time, and Judge Crabb found that as well.
And Scottsdale is a corporation?
Yes, sir. It is incorporated in the state of Ohio. It has principal place of business in the state of Arizona. In this case, the Wilds have never disputed, and Judge Crabb found that Wisconsin law would apply, and it's similar to the same exact law that Mr. Leitner just mentioned to you as well. In this case, earlier the plaintiffs had claimed that Mr. Lane and Mr. Holmes were insured under the Scottsdale policy. They have now dropped that. The only possible insureds under the Scottsdale policy are Subscription Plus and Curley and Hillary. Based on that, Judge Crabb applied Wisconsin law and determined that once Subscription Plus and Curley and Hillary are no longer parties to the action, then Scottsdale and Acceptance must be dismissed from this action. And for that reason, we ask that you affirm Judge Crabb's dismissal of Scottsdale and Acceptance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Fitzpatrick. Mr. Klum?
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Tom Klug. I represent Acceptance Insurance Company, a Nebraska corporation with its principal place of business there. In our joint brief with Scottsdale, and we were the excess liability carrier, in our joint brief with Scottsdale, we raised the waiver issue based on what's been argued this morning. I'm not sure that that's an issue that you want to even hear argument on, but it occurs to me as representative of the party that brought the first summary judgment motion, and this was, of course, regarding coverage, and we spent a lot of time in energy and discovery, a lot of time and energy in briefing, findings of fact, and so on, that after Mr. Salas lost basically on the merits of Subscriptions Plus a summary judgment, that he then turns around and uses the jurisdictional argument, which he opposed, to try to invalidate all and undo all that had been done on summary judgment. And I just don't think that is appropriate. I think never having raised the argument prior to an adverse decision is just a way in which to try to duck the adverse decision and invalidate all of the things that happened on the merits. I don't think it should be permitted.
Thank you. Mr. Schaefer?
Good morning, Your Honors. Quentin Schaefer on behalf of Heart of Texas Dodge and Universal Underwriters. Universal Underwriters is a Kansas corporation with its principal place of business in Kansas. Heart of Texas Dodge, a Texas corporation with its principal place of business in Texas. Appellant seemed to insinuate that the matter should be remanded back to the Western District, Judge Crabb, for purposes of further adjudication, and that the summary judgments with respect to all of the defendants should be basically washed out. That is not a practical solution with respect to Heart of Texas and Universal, because Hillary has absolutely nothing to do with Universal's and Heart of Texas's motion for summary judgment. She had nothing to do with the purchase of the van, and the insurance coverage from Universal, the linchpin, was whether or not Heart of Texas was deemed to be the owner of the subject green van. Proper law was applied, which was Texas law. The court determined that Heart of Texas was not the owner. Therefore, any error shouldn't affect, or any remand back to the court shouldn't affect, the summary judgment decisions of Judge Crabb with respect to Heart of Texas and Universal. Assuming that this court finds that Hillary was not subject to jurisdiction within Wisconsin, a transfer order that was rendered by Judge Feldman should still be maintained. The Hoffman decision only applies with respect to single defendants where they were completely not subject to personal jurisdiction or venue within the transferee court. This is the unique scenario that Judge Feldman was presented with, that being that there was multiple defendants who probably all aren't there's not a court in the country in which all of these defendants would be subject to jurisdiction. In this case, Judge Feldman had the decision of either transferring the court, transferring the case to the Western District, which was the proper venue, or he could have dismissed the lawsuit, which would have initiated a litany of other lawsuits that have been filed in various courts throughout the country. The proper retransfer decision was made by Judge Crabb, as she determined that the right to bring the lawsuit was the linchpin in the Hoffman decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your time had expired, Mr. South, but you may have a couple of minutes. We had extensive questions.
Thank you, Your Honor. The defendants argue, based on the Kennison decision, that the plaintiff simply cannot sue the insurance companies in Wisconsin because of the substantive statute there. If that is true, then plaintiffs could not have sued the insurance companies originally in Wisconsin, and that would be contrary to 28 U.S.C. 1406, and that is another reason why then the District Court of Wisconsin never acquired jurisdiction. They are saying, look, you can't sue me here. You cannot sue the insurance companies here. You can only sue the insured. But in Louisiana, I can.
Because Louisiana is a direct action.
Yes, sir. That's right. And that's why we sue the insurance companies in Louisiana. But they say when you transfer here, the claims against insurance companies are out. And you have to rely on what the insured does vis-a-vis
the... No, I think you're confusing two different things. They can be sued in Wisconsin as a matter of venue and personal jurisdiction. You're saying there's no cause of action against them. That is, you can't win a suit against them. That's quite different from suability.
Well, I think that it's a mixed issue, Judge. I can sue him, but I sue him for what purpose if I have no cause of action?
Yes, but that's the merits. That has nothing to do with the transfer.
Your Honor, another issue, Mr. Lightner mentions that because the white van had been damaged prior to the inception of the progressive policy, therefore, notice should have been given on the first day that the policy came into effect. There's nothing in the policy that requires that. And in fact, Judge, the affidavit of Sean Lane indicates that on the day that the policy came into effect, the green vehicle was not being used as a substitute. Because he had been used as a substitute, then it had been stored because the vehicle had no license plates, and then later it was put into use again. So even under that scenario that he puts before the court, we had no duty to notify the Progressive Insurance Company until the vehicle was back in service. You know, I just want to say one thing, is that one of the issues that is before Judge Crabb right now in the other suits is whether or not this judgment has preclusive effect on the other. So then one issue that they said is that the claim against Carly and Hillary is also gone, even though Judge Crabb said that she's not subject to jurisdiction in her court before. But they are saying somehow, because of some statement that the judge made in her opinion, that we cannot sue Carly and Hillary anymore anywhere. And I think that is key issue that this court needs to look at and correct and make sure that it doesn't stand. Thank you very much.
Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Court will proceed to the third case, Tierney.